Hi, good morning. Today's daf is Arach and Daf Yud Beis. Today we are going to focus almost exclusively on a comment that we made yesterday in passing. So yesterday, as you may recall, we made a comment in passing that Megalgalin Schus L'Yom Zakai V'Chova L'Yom Chiyuv, and we were talking about how when the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed, they were both destroyed on the same day. And one of the comments that we had made was that they were both destroyed on Sunday. It was Tisha B'Av, obviously. And both years were Matzoi Shviyas. Both years were the first year in the Shemitah cycle. So I should just mention today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And we thank him very, very much for his continued sponsorship. So what we had said yesterday was that both the Batei Mikdash were destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. And today in the Gemara, we're really going to delve into, from a historical perspective, studying the Psukim in Tanakh, which is somewhat difficult for a guy with a traditional yeshiva education, but you have to have a modicum of knowledge of the history and also how to reconcile various references to dates and periods in Tanakh. But going through the Psukim, we're going to try to figure out whether it was really possible that the Beis HaMikdash could have been destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, both the first time around and the second time around. And we're going to wind up concluding that it was really not possible, and really only the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, but not the second Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to wind up saying eventually that when the Gemara said that all of the attributes of the first Churban were shared with the second Churban, it didn't mean the fact that it was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. All it meant was that it was Tisha B'Av and it was on a Sunday. And how do we know? So the clincher is going to be, I mean, we're going to bury the lead a little bit, but if you'll forgive me, the clincher is going to be that it said in the Gemara yesterday that both times the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. And historically, we know that Yehoyariv didn't come back from Golus in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, so it was not really possible for it to have been destroyed during his Mishmar anyway, but we're going to see a lot of interesting historical tidbits along the way, hopefully, in today's shiur. So says the Gemara, again, we're all the way on top of Yud Beis, I'm an Aleph. First word on the page, say, Yiboyelu, Nesachim Abom Efnei Atzman, so Nesachim that come on their own. So what does it mean that they come on their own? Says Rashi, it means that, let's say, they brought a carbon sebor. So we know that if you bring a carbon sebor that's a chova, you have to say Shira when you bring the Nesachim. But we also know that the Nesachim don't necessarily have to be brought on the day that the carbon was brought. So let's say you brought a carbon today. So today's Friday. So you bring a carbon today, and you want to bring the Nesachim on Sunday or Monday. So what happens? And in other words, you're bringing the Nesachim without the carbon. And what is the story with Shira in that case? So Tunin Shira ain't Tunin Shira. So the Nesachim that are brought after, a couple of days after the carbon's already been brought on the Mizbeach, do those Nesachim require Shira or not? So says the Gemara, what are the Tzadim? Kivan diyamar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani and Rav Yochanan. Since Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani and Rav Yochanan says, Minayin she'enum rem Shira ela yayin amrinon. We already said that enum rem Shira ela yayin. We only say Shira when it's accompanied with wine. Here the Shira is accompanied with wine because you're bringing the Nesachim and you're saying the Shira at the time that you're saying the Nesachim. So maybe you do say Shira. O Dilma, alachila v'shtia amrinon, ashtia l'chuda lo amrinon. Or maybe you only say the Shira when there's an achila and a shtia. In other words, when there is wine, also when there is meat, meaning when the Nesachim are brought b'shas shchita, but maybe for shtia itself, you would not say the Shira. Maybe for the Nesachim itself, you would not say the Shira. So the Gemara tries to bring an attempted raya. So Tashma, Rav Yossi Omer, Megalgalin Schus L'Yom Zakai. So here we go. Again, quoting what we said yesterday, and this is going to be our springboard. So it says, Megalgalin Schus L'Yom Zakai. So it says, and what we had said yesterday, you'll recall, is that at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when Nebuchadnezzar came in to the Beis HaMikdash, the Levium were saying Shira. And what Shira were they saying? They were saying the Shira of Barasam Yatzmisim Hashem Elokeinu. And that's, of course, the Shira for Wednesday, which was difficult to reconcile with a comment that the Gemara also made, which is that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Sunday. So what in the world were the Levium doing saying the Shira for Wednesday if it was really Sunday? So the Gemara is going to bring a raya from there. So Tashma, Rav Yossi Omer, Megalgalin Schus L'Yom Zakai. So Hai Shira Maya Vidite. What Shira What was the purpose of this shira that the Levim were saying? Ilem ad olas chova, if it was for an olas chova, so mihavi, there was no olas chova at the time. There was no tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arba'im. Why? Because b'shivaser b'tamuz batal atamid. Because the tamid was already batal by shivaser b'tamuz. They didn't have karbanos. They didn't have animals in order to bring for the karban tamid. Ela dolas nedava. So maybe you want to say it was for an olas nedava. It was not for an olas chovas sibor, but it was an olas nedavas sibor. Aiva tani rav mari bereid rav kana delo tzricha. Ay, but we saw in the brisa that you do not require a shira for an olas nedavas sibor. Why? Because you only require, we made a comparison to shlamim, and therefore we had learned that we only require shira by an ola, even by a carbon sibor, only when there is a kavuazman, only when there is a set time for the carbon. But by an adava, where there is no set time for a carbon, they don't require shira. So we said it can't be the olas chova because there was no olas chova at that time in history. It couldn't be an olas nadava because an olas nadava doesn't require shira. Elalav the nesachim, elamai. They didn't have karbonos, but they had wine, so maybe they were bringing the nesachim, and then they were saying shira only with the nesachim. It's a raya that when you bring nesachim, it requires shira. Says the Gemara, Amaravavi, Semaravashi, Vitizbara. Says the Gemara, it can't even be. So just stop trying to figure out why they were saying this particular shira. Shira di yom Hashem aretz umaloa. The shira for Sunday is Hashem aretz umaloa. V'yoshav aleihem esonam b'shira darba b'shabbesu. The shira that they were saying was actually the shira from Wednesday. So it can't be that they were saying the shira for any particular reason associated either with a karban or with nesachim. Ella ilaya ba'almo denafalo b'pamayu. But rather, it was simply a dirge that they happened to have been singing. It was like they had a premonition, so they were singing. They were singing this shira. It says the Gemara va'omdim al aduchan k'tani, but it says that the Levim were omdim al duchanam. It's mashma that the Levim were discharging some sort of actual obligation, that they were doing a mitzvah when they were saying shira. So how can you say that it was purely elective and that this shira was in no way obligatory or part of their duties? Says the Gemara, "Kedar Reish Lakish, Damar Reish Lakish, Amar Shira Shelo Ala Karban." So says Reish Lakish that the Levim were not limited to saying Shira only when there was a Karban. They were able to stam say Shira. It's a nice thing, so they were able to say Shira even not in the context of bringing a Karban or pouring the Nesachim. But says the Gemara now, "Iachi b'Nesachim Nami Lema." Let them say Shira by the Nesachim as well. If they're stam allowed to get up whenever they want and say Shira, so what's preventing them from saying Shira when Nesachim are poured on the Mizbeach, even if they are not poured in conjunction with the Shechita of a Karban? Says the Gemara, because nafak minei churva. Because then there's going to be a problem. What's the problem? And Rashi says, Da'asi l'meimar ki echad nesachim abav ne'atbam rishus, nesachim abav ma'karban nami rishus. Because if we say that, the Levim can volunteer a shira when you bring nesachim alone, they're going to think that the shira is always voluntary. And it's also voluntary, it's also elective when you're bringing nesachim along with a karban. But when you're bringing nesachim along with a karban, then the shira is obligatory on a daraisa level. So if we allow them to say shira in any context of any akrava on the mizbeach, and it's optional, we're afraid they're going to assume that it's all optional, and therefore we say no. Either you only say the shira when you have the nesachim along with the karban, or outside of the context of carbon generally, you're allowed to volunteer the shira because we're not afraid that there's going to be any misunderstanding out of that. All right, so says the Gemara, now we're going to get into the history of the Churban. So Gufa, Rav Yossi Omer, Megalgal and Zchus Liyam Zakai. So Barishona, B'motzoi Shvius, Mimishkachasla. So first of all, on a Sunday, in the Motzoi Shvius, in the first year, of the Shemitah cycle, is it really possible to say that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in that year of the Shemitah cycle? Vaksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Be'estrim v'chameh shana, in the 25th year, L'galuso, of the galus of Yehoyachin, Barosh Hashanah, in the beginning of the year, Be'esar l'chodesh, on the 10th day of the month. So we're going to deal with how was it the 10th day of the month and also the beginning of the year. Ba'arba asar shana achar shehuksa yir. and it was 14 years after Yerushalayim was destroyed. So in order to understand what's going on here, we just have to know a little bit of history. And that is as follows, that the Bayis Rishon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. 17 years before the Churban, Nebuchadnezzar went to Yerushalayim, and he made Melech Yehoyakim, he made the Melech Yehuda of Yehoyakim, his slave, effectively. So he made him subservient to Nebuchadnezzar. That was 17 years pre-Churban. Nebuchadnezzar then left, and he came back another time, another 6 years later, so 11 years before the Churban, and then he sent Yehoyakim into Gullus. Yehoyakim was the son of Yehoyakim. So first time Nebuchadnezzar came, he subjugated Yehoyakim. He made Yehoyakim subservient to Nebuchadnezzar. So even though there was still a Melech Yehuda, he was really answering to Nebuchadnezzar. Then he left for 6 years. He came back, and then he sent Yehoyakim's son, Yehoyakim, into Gullus. And Yechezkel was with Yehoyakim when he went into Gullus. And then Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu into the king. And in the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, which was the year of the Churban, Nebuchadnezzar came another time and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and all of the Bnei Yisrael were sent into Gullus. So it's just critical to remember that there is a 17-year period divided, you know, subdivided into the first time he came, and then 6 years later he came again, and then 11 years later he came again. And now we have a pasuk that says, so again, Yehoyakim was sent into Gullus 11 years before the Churban Habayis. That's what's important to remember. So Yehoyakim was sent into Gullus 11 years before the Churban Habayis, and the Pasuk is telling us 25 years after Yehoyakim was sent into Gullus. It was in the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, Ba'arba Asar Shana Achar Shehuk Sa'ir, and it was 14 years after Yerushalayim was destroyed, right? Because 11 plus 14 is 25. So says the Gemara, what year are we talking about, though? Eze Yishana Sherosh Hashana Be'esra L'Chodesh. Why are you using this weird language about it says at the beginning of the year on the 10th of the month? So what kind of year is it where the beginning of the year is on the 10th of the month, Ki'ilu? So says the Gemara, Avi Omer Zeyovel. So it says, Zeyovel, that's Yovel. Why? Because on Yovel, important things happen on Yom Kippur, which is on the 10th of the month of Tishrei, obviously. And that's when all the slaves go free and all the karka goes back. It doesn't happen on Rosh Hashanah, it happens on Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, V'sal kadaitach b'chad b'shavua charav. So if you want to say that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, and when this statement was made in the Navi Yechezkel, that you want to say 25 years or 14 years after the Churban, which is 25 years after the Gullus of Yehoyakim, that they were standing in a Yovel year, that they were in a Yovel year, how does that math work? Because if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, V'isal kadaita b'chad b'shavua charuv, michad b'shavua l'chad b'shavua tamni, from the first year of the Shemitah cycle to the first year of the next Shemitah cycle is 8 years, because we're not counting the first year. And l'chad b'shavua achrina, chamesh esrei avayan. And then if you want to get me to the first year of another Shemitah cycle, that's another 7. So 8 plus 7 is 15. So in other words, in other words, if we're trying to figure out how is it that it was that Yechezkel was in the Yovel year, and he was saying that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 14 years earlier in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So if you do the math, it wouldn't have been 14 years earlier. It would have been 15 years earlier that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So says the Gemara, no. Amar Ravina, Ba'arba Esrei Shana, Achar Shana Shehuk Sa'ir. No, what we're talking about, in other words, that the Churban really took place 15 years before then, not 14 years before then. So that's how we account for our extra year. Why does it then say in the Pasuk that the Churban took place 14 years ago? What it means is that the Churban really took place 15 years ago, but it's been 14 years since the year after the Churban. And that's why it's possible that both the Churban took place in the first year of a Shemitah cycle And Yechezkel was standing in a Yovel year when he made the comment about 25 years ago was the Golos Yochanan, which was 11 years before the Korban, which was 14 years ago. It really means it was 15 years ago. So says the Gemara, well then we have a problem with the math over here, because Ihachi Esrim V'chameish Shana, Esrim V'sheish Havayan. He says 25 years ago, and how do we get to 25? Because the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed 14 years ago, and then 11 years prior to that, Yochanan was sent to the Galus. So 14 plus 11 is 25. But now says the Gemara, you're telling me that it doesn't really mean 14 years ago, it means 15 years ago. The problem is 15 plus 11 is not 25, 15 plus 11 is 26. So how are you going to reconcile that? So says the Gemara, Iachi Esrim V'chameish Shana, Esrim V'sheish Havayan. It's really 26 years ago. The Yom Ramar, because we say that Golu B'Sheva, that the first wave of people who went into Golus in the seventh year of Yoyakim's reign, Golu B'Shmone, and they also went into Golus in the eighth year of the reign. And we'll see, I mean, just to say it now, just because we'll see this in a couple of lines, it doesn't mean that the Gemara is going to conclude this, does not mean that there were 2 years of Golus, that in the seventh year and the eighth year. It just means that in the seventh year of Yoyakim's reign, which was the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, so in other words, it was the same year. So in the seventh year of Yoyakim's reign, which was in the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, was the first wave of Golos, and Golu B'Yudches, Golu B'Yudtes. And then in the 18th year of Yoyakim's reign, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, the second wave went into Golos. And that's when the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed as well. So the Gemara says, now let's do this math. Mishev v'atam nisrei. So we said there were two waves of Golos, one in the seventh year of Yoyakim's reign, one in the 18th year of Yoyakim's reign. So from 7 to 18 is chadsrei, is 11 years. And Yechezkel was sent into Golos in the seventh year, so in other words, Yechezkel went into Golos with Yoyachin in the first wave, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 18th year, when the second wave of Golos happened. V'chamesh esrei, and you add 15 to these 11, to the 11-year difference between the 7th year and the 18th year, which is when the first Golos hit and then the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. So 15 years after that, says from V'sheish Havi. So that's 26 years. So there's all a long way of saying that 15 plus 11 is 26 and not 25. So if Yechezkel was talking about a Golos that preceded the Korban by 11 years, he should have said 26 years ago, not 25 years ago, if he's not counting the year of the Korban in the calculation. Says the Gemara, Armelecha Ravina, so says Ravina, Uldidach, and according to you, who says that the reference to 14 years in the Pasuk does not mean 14 years exclusive of the Korban, but rather it means that literally 14 years ago the Korban took place. It was 14 years ago, not 15 years ago. But no matter how you want to interpret this Pasuk, you have a problem. Uldidach minicha, according to you, is everything really okay? Can you really explain the Pasukim? Michti, Golunami, Bishasre. But we see that they were also sent into Golos in the 19th year, because it says Golu Yudches, Golu Yudtes, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash was obviously destroyed all the way at the end of the Golos process. So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed also in the 19th year. So then says the Gemara, now do the math. Mishev v'atamni v'atishtari tartisrei. From 7 to 19 is 12 years. V'arbasrei, and even if you want to say that the 14-year reference was that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 14 years ago and not 15, so still 14 plus 14 plus 12 is Esrim V'sheish Havayan, is 26. So in other words, basically says the Gemara that no matter how you want to interpret the reference to 14 years ago, whether it means that 14 years ago the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, or really it's been 14 years since the year of the Korban, meaning it was destroyed 15 years ago, you still have a problem, because Yechezkel was making a reference to something historical that happened to the first Golos, which supposedly happened 25 years ago, but the Gemara is saying, according to both ways of learning, it happened 26 years ago, not 25 years ago. Says the Gemara, Elamai, what can you say? Levar Mishata de Galiba, no, that it has to be the 14-year reference is exclusive of the year in which it was destroyed. So Didinami Levar Mishata de Galiba. So also according to me, it's exclusive of the year that it was destroyed. But says the Gemara, Mikomakom Tishri Laravina Kasha. Aye, good. So we're not gonna count the year in which it was destroyed. So really the reference to 14 years ago was really 15 years ago. Okay, good, fine. But what about the fact that Ravina had said that the actual korban took place year 19, in other words, 12 years after the first galus, but not 11 years after the first galus? Because according to him, we definitely have a problem, because according to him, what we're saying is it should be a calculation of 12 plus 14. And 12 plus 14 is 26, not 25. So Ravina has a kasha explaining the pasuk. Says the Gemara, no, mi savrit shalash galios hava. It doesn't mean that there was a separate golos in year 18 and a separate golos in year 19. Golu b'sheva l'kivish yoyakim, they were sent into golos in the seventh year of the kivish yoyakim, shi shmona l'vuchanetzar, which was the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Golu b'shmona esrei l'kivish yoyakim, there was then a second wave of golos in the 18th year of kivish yoyakim, shi chasrei l'vuchanetzar, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. In other words, there was no separate gullus in year 19. The gullus that we had been referring to as the gullus of year 18 is the gullus of year 19 when you count according to Nebuchadnezzar's years. When we said 18, we were counting according to the years of gullus Yoyachin. 19 is according to the malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. So now we only have to solve for a difference between 7 and 18. The difference between 7 and 18 is 11, plus 14, because now we're 14 years after the Korban, is 25. Great, that's how Yechezkel was saying 25 years ago was the beginning of the gullus. Damarmar, and how do we know that that there was a 1 year discrepancy between the Malchus Nebuchadnezzar and the Golos Yoyachin? Damarmar, Rishona Kibish Ninveh, Nebuchadnezzar didn't waste any time. The first year of his Malchus, he captured Ninveh, he conquered Ninveh, and Shnia Olav Kibish Yoyachin. And the second year, he went up and he subjugated and he exiled and he subjugated Yoyachin. He captured Yoyachin. Okay, so this is how we were able to say that that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, and that 14 years later, or because really it doesn't count the year of the Korban, we might have been standing in a Yovel year. So again, I mean, just to think about it like this. If Yovel is year 50 of the cycle, which we're about to see a machlokas on, so if Yovel is year 50 of the cycle, so 14 years earlier would have been year 36 of the cycle, and that works out well, because Shemitah is every 7 years, so Shemitah would have been in year 35. Year 36, which is the year that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, would have been the first year of the Shemitah cycle. 14 years later, Yechezkel standing in a Yovel, and he's talking about what happened 14 years earlier. Okay, great. Now, how about the second Beis HaMikdash? V'chein b'shnia. And here's where it gets even more historical. So you'll see in the R-Scroll, they have chart after chart. It's a little bit confusing. Hopefully, we'll make some sense of it. So says the Gemara, v'chein b'shnia. Similarly, by the second Beis HaMikdash. So we were saying, similarly, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on a Sunday. It was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Great. So, v'shniyah b'matzoi shviyas mimish kachasla. That's definitely not historically possible. So, michti, b'yisheni kama kum. How long was the second Beis HaMikdash standing? Arba mea v'esrin. It was standing for 420 years, says Rashi. 420 whole years. Besides the year in which it was destroyed, so it was standing for 420 years. Arba mea tamni yovli. So 400 years is 8 yovel cycles, because we're assuming again for the time being each yovel cycle is 50 years. 8 times 5 is 4. 8 times 50 is 400. So now we have 20 left over, right? Because the Beis HaMikdash was standing for 420 years. So arbasrei. So we have 400. Good. So arbasrei. Trei Shavua. Now we have another 14 years, which would have been two other Shemitah cycles, then Pashulu Sheis. Ah, but the Beis HaMikdash only stood for 420 years, so 400 is complete Yovel cycles. Another 14 years would have been another two Shemitah cycles, but the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 6 years later, meaning it would have been destroyed in the sixth year of the cycle. In the sixth year, Havi Le Beshita B'Shavua. So that would have been already in the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, on what we said. That's why the Rashi earlier was critical. Rashi said it stood for 420 years, not including the year of the Korban. So if there were 420 whole years in the lifespan of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was 8 Yovel periods plus 2 Shemitah periods plus 6 years, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the next year would have been in Shemitah itself, but it wouldn't have been the first year after the Shemitah cycle. So how can you say that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of the cycle? It was destroyed, apparently, in Shemitah itself. Says the Gemara, we're doing our calculations all wrong. How many Rav Yehudi? This is Rav Yehuda de Omar, Shnas Chamishim Ola Lakan Ulakan. So Rashi says that the 50th year is counted both ways. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, third line from the top, the Shnas HaYovel, the Tchilas Yovel Haba. Hilkach Rav Yehuda lo avi b'chol Yovel ela mem teshanim. Ah, so according to Rav Yehuda, it's not that there were 7 Shemitah cycles, so 49 years, and then the 50th year is a Yovel year that exists unto itself, and then the next year we begin a Shemitah cycle. It's that there's 49 years in the Shemitah cycle, and then there's a Yovel, but the Yovel also doubles up as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So think of it in 49-year segments or increments, and not 50-year increments. So says the Gemara, good. So what did we say? In 400 years, according to the Tanakama's calculation, there were 8 Yovel periods, because 8 times 50 is 400. So I see Tamne me Tamne Yovle. But what we're saying now is that no, each Yovel period is not 50 years, it's only 49 years. So take 8 years from those Yovel periods, Vahanishis, and the 6-year remainder that we just referred to. So 8 plus 6 is 14. Haviar Besar is 14 years. So Ishtakech, so now we're adding, in other words, now we're adding not 400 plus 14 plus 6, we're adding 400 plus 14 plus, not 400, we're adding 392 plus 14, and but because we're rejiggering the way we're thinking about the Yovel years, it turns out that now it could be in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So, Ishtakach t'mosoi shviyas charev. So says the Gemara, okay, now you've explained that according to Rav Yehuda, the second Beis HaMikdash may have been destroyed in Motsoi Shviyas, in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. But he Rav Yehuda b'rishon lo mishkachas la, we don't find that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Why? Titania, because we learn as follows. Shiva Asar Yovlos Manu Yisrael. The Jewish people counted 17 Yovlos, Mishenichnasu La'aretz Ad Sheyatsu, from the time they entered Eretz Yisrael until the time that they left Eretz Yisrael. So the Bayis Rishon was built 440 years after the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, and the Bayis Rishon was standing for 410 years, which includes the year of its Churban. So 440 plus 410 is 850. So it turns out that the Bnei Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael for 850 years, and 850 years is 17 Yovel periods. So 17 times 50, 850. Good. So there were 17 Yovel periods from the time that the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael until they left. But you can't say that they actually counted Yovel from the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael. Shema to Omer Cain, because if you say that, Nimsa Bayis Charev B'Tchilas Yovel. It turns out that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in year 850, which would have been the Yovel year of that 17th cycle. In other words, it would have been destroyed in Yovel itself, not in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, which we're assuming is the first year after Yovel. V'atamotzi Barbas Reshana Achar Shok Sayir. And also we'll have a problem because Yecheskel was talking remember, 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Yechezkel himself was talking in the year of Yovel, and this Braisa holds like the Chachamim, who says that Yovel doesn't count for the first year of the Shemitah cycle as well as for Yovel itself. So it can't be that the first Beis HaMikdash, according to this calculation, was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Says the Gemara, I elitzei mehem sheva shekipshu v'sheva shechilku. Good, so take out from this calculation, there were 7 years when the Bnei Yisrael conquered Eretz Yisrael, 7 years when they divided Eretz Yisrael. V'atamotzi bar b'esrei shana achar asher huksa hi'ir. And then we can find that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, and we were standing in a Yovel period, because they didn't start counting the Yovel right away. They didn't start counting Yovel right away. So don't assume that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the Yovel. There was 14 years before they even started counting. So 14 years after the Churban was the 17th Yovel. 14 years before that was year 36 of the cycle, which was the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, great. So that's how we explain the pasuk in Yechezkel. So v'irav Yehuda. Now this is all according to the Chachamim, who say that Yovel is not Ola Lakan Ola Lakan, and that we're dealing with true 50-day segments and 50-day increments. The Rabbi Yehuda, but if it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that we're dealing with 49-day periods and not 50-day periods, Sa'aisi Shivsri Mishivsri Yovel Shadehani. So take the 17 years of Yovel from these 17 Yovel cycles and put them on the other side of the calculation. Right? In other words, we have the 17 years that are extra, because he holds that the Yovel cycle is not 50 years, it's only 49 years. Now deduct the 14 years Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku from the 17 years. 17 minus 14 is 3. Sahavile Bitlasa Bishavua. But if you do the math according to Rabbi Yehuda, and they didn't start counting Yovel until 14 years after they got into Eretz Yisrael. So if you do that math, you're not dealing with whole numbers. You're not dealing with 50-year periods. You're dealing with 49-year periods. The remainder is 3. It would turn out that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the third year of the Shemitah cycle. So says the Gemara, Hanach Shani Daglinu Sancherev Adi Asar Yirmiyo Adrinu Lo Kachashev Lu Atz. Because For a period of time, they suspended the count of Yovel. So the counting of Yovel didn't run consecutively. Why? Because Yovel is talui on all of the Yud Beis Shvatim living in Eretz Yisrael. And if you want to say that the Yovel was suspended, then you'll find when you do the calculation that the bias was destroyed in the 36th year of the new count. And the 14 years later, when Yechezkel was making his comment in the Navi, it was the 50th year, which was the Yovel year. All right. So in other words, basically, according to Rav Yehuda, how does it turn out that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Matzoi Shviyas? How does it turn out that it was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle? So effectively, what he's saying is he can't run the count consecutively, because according to Rav Yehuda, if you run the count consecutively, starting after the Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku, you're never going to wind up with the right calculation. There was a gap, and then they restarted. Now, in the restart, The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 36th year of the restart, which was the first year of a Shemitah cycle. 14 years later, it was Yovel. Great. Says the Gemara, Yibo Aseima Liolam Rabbanan, or we could say that really this is going according to the Chachamim. So in other words, the first year, the first Beis HaMikdash that it was destroyed in the Shemitah, in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, that we proved. What we had a problem was, according to the Chachamim, the second Beis HaMikdash, because it didn't appear to be destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, rather it appeared to be destroyed in the Shemitah year itself. So says the Gemara, not a problem, because v'chiktani b'shniya ashara. And when the Braisa had mentioned that the second Beis HaMikdash was like the first Beis HaMikdash in all of the aspects of its destruction, it did not mean literally in all of the aspects of its destruction. It meant with respect to some of the aspects, namely that it was on a Sunday and it was on Tisha B'Av, but not that the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. And says the Gemara, that's what we have to say. Hachinami mistabra. Dilo temahachi, because if it were not the case, Mishmarasa shal Yoyarev Bishnia mihavya, was there a Mishmar of Yoyarev? That the Gemara told us that both times the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was the Mishmar of Yoyarev, but historically, says the Gemara, in the Bayesheni, there was no Mishmar of Yoyarev. Atanya, Arba Mishmaros Olu Minagola. There were four Mishmaros that returned from Golos for the second Beis HaMikdash. Yedaya, Vicharim, Pashkar, Ve'emar. So it was these four families. So Amdu Neviim Shebineim V'chilkum. So the Neviim at the time got up and they divided these four families, L'chafta Ala Mishmaros, into 24 Mishmaros. Each family was subdivided into six. So Ba'olam V'naslam Bakalpi. So they mixed everything up and they made a lottery. So Ba'y Yedaya V'natal Chelka V'chelak Chavei Roshesh. So came Yedaya and he took his Chelak and also the Chelakim of these six people who were sort of subservient or underneath his umbrella. Bacharim, turning over to Yugimel Amin Aleph, so Bacharim and Atal Chelka v'chelek Kavei Roshesh. Charim came and took his chelek and the chelek for his six subdivisions. V'chein Pasha, v'chein Eimar. Similarly, v'eskinu Nevi'im Shebeneim, and the Nevi'im decided, Shafilu Yoyarev Rosh Mishmaros Ola, that even if Yoyarev, the head of Mishmaros from the first base of Mikdash, would eventually come back to Eretz Yisrael, la Yidchi Yedayim Emkomo, that Yedaya would not be pushed off from his place, because Yedaya was the one who was brave enough to come back, not Yoyarev. Yoyarev stayed outside of Eretz Yisrael. Eli Yedaya Iker vaYoyarev Tarfil. But Yedaya was the Iker, and Yoyarev would have been the Tarfil. Yoyarev would have been subservient to Yedaya in the second Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi points out, we should mention that when it says that Lo Yitche Yedaya Mimkomo, and Rashi says that vaYoyarev Shuv Lo Ola, that Yoyarev never actually came up to Eretz Yisrael, so he never actually returned. Tosfa says, Perish Rashi, it's the second Tosfos on the page, Shafilu b'shmarosu shal Yoyarev Ola, so Perish Rashi, Sheshuv lo Ola, v'zeo teima, d'minolan Sheshuv lo Ola, d'amashma sheyachal lalo. So how do we know that he never came back? It's possible that he could came back, but what we're saying is, even if he does come back, he's not going to displace Yedayim. D'kamer Shafilu b'shmarosu shal Yoyarev Ola, v'odik sh'rabeinu l'chana d'arbei alu, v'ein poshut lanu shalo Ola. How do we know that he didn't come back? V'yema Rebbe, d'michol mokom yachal liyo sh'alo Yoyarev v'acha In other words, even if he came back, it still wouldn't have been called the Mishmar of Yoyarev. In other words, says Tosfos, there's no hechrach that he didn't come back. The point is, even if he did come back, there would never have been a Mishmar called Yoyarev, because the Mishmar was instead Yedaya's Mishmar. Says the Gemara, Ela Ashara, Elama, you're right. It can't be that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the Mishmar of Yoyarev, because there was no Mishmar of Yoyarev. So what the Gemara meant when it said that the second Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, had all the attributes of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, it meant only with respect to the fact that it was on Tisha B'Av and a Sunday, with respect to the fact that it was the Mishmar of Yoyarev, and the fact that it was in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, they were not common with one another. We'll pick up, God willing, from the two dots tomorrow.